On Friday, June 7th, we wrapped up the week and talked again about a still controversial state House election in Stratford. State Rep. Vin Candelore of North Brantford joined us. And also we got our weekly wrap-up of what's going on and coming up at the state capitol from Stratford Republican State Senator Kevin Kelly. Well, we talked about this last week, about the ongoing battle being waged even up to the Supreme Court by Republican Jim Finn, who was trying to get at least a revote in one polling place for the 120th District State House seat after it was determined that about 76 voters at Bunnell High were given the wrong ballot last election day in November. And Jim Finn lost that race by 13 votes, and I don't think anybody's disputing that. Fact of the matter is, though, Mr. Feehan cannot seem to get, for his campaign and the voters of Stratford, they can't seem to get any equitable resolution here. And I know one guy who's been in the middle of it is joining us on the phone now, North Brantford Republican State Rep. Vin Candelore. Vin, Paul here. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Vin, so I know you've been in the middle of this and you've been trying to push some sort of a resolution here. First of all, this is, and I spoke to Jim last week, we talked for about 20 minutes on this, Jim. Vin, there's no dispute as to what happened here, correct?
No, the facts aren't disputed. And what's unique about this is under our Constitution, the authority to review an election for state rep and state senator is vested with the legislature. So for all other races, if there's a problem with the election, you go to court and a judge decides. Back when our founders created the Constitution, they vested it with the legislature. Mm-hmm. And so sadly, despite the fact that it's not disputed that 75 people received the wrong ballots, despite the fact that many people believe we need to fix this and allow for a revote, whether it be just in that precinct or for the entire district, the legislature just failed to act. And frankly, it was the arrogance of the majority that said, we control the legislature. We're not going to bring it to the floor. And this issue really is not political. It's about resolving an election dispute.
You know, last week, Vin, when I had Jim on the phone, he said, look, and he said this publicly on my show. He wanted to use my show to get this out to as many people as possible. He said he would be willing, if that's what it would take, to just take a revote in that one polling district, Bunnell High School, that was used for the 120th election and the 122nd, and he would be happy with that. He'd say, listen, let's let the people in the Bunnell district revote, and wherever the chips fall, they fall, and if I'm elected, I'm elected. If not, I walk away and maybe try another time. And not even this offer is being taken up.
Well, that's right. And I think that's a very honorable position to him, because I think precedent shows that the courts would indicate there should be a whole new election. Mm-hmm. So I think Jim's position is very generous for Bunnell only. But you're right, we couldn't get that done either. And I liken this. I say, you know, the Democrat Party has essentially committed a murder, and they're not telling anybody where the body is. So the voters in the 120th have no closure, and we may never know, you know, who the rightful elected official is for that position. And that's unfortunate, because, you know, the Democrat Party is the first to talk about disenfranchising voters and we need to improve the process and let's get more people registered to vote. We just had an early voting proposal come before us. And, you know, talk is cheap. It starts to reek of the fact that they don't care really about the election process. They only care about getting more Democrats elected, and that's just wrong.
And Jim, the thing, and I'm sorry, Vin, and we're talking to North Brantford State Rep. Republican Vin Candelore. Vin, the thing that bothers me here, that really bothers me, and I know it frosts you guys off and on the Republican side of the aisle, and I'm sure, Vin, there are some Democrats who are uncomfortable with this, but they're not going to say anything. The fact, again, we go back to the point that there's nothing in dispute here. Apparently, unfortunately, as was told to me, a high school volunteer gave out some wrong ballots. They figured out the exact numbers, 75 or 76. So it's not like they're having to bring in some accounting firm to figure out what went wrong here.
No, and when you talk to people, Democrats, Republicans, unaffiliates, and people in the legislature, you know, quietly they all agree something should be done. But unfortunately, the resolution was never brought forward. And frankly, my position's always been, you know, if it's the will of the chamber that we do nothing and we don't give a new election and you allow Phil Young to be seated, that's fine. But I think at the very least, we had an obligation to vote that resolution and bring closure to the process. And what did Democrats do? They called the resolution at 11:55 at night before we're about to gavel out. And to me, that was the height of insult to everybody.
And I know that bothered you in particular. Somebody sent me a CTN clip when you were on, and just kind of refresh the listeners what you said there, because I think it was pertinent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what I just talked about is, it was, you know, we take an oath. We swore to uphold that Constitution, and that Constitution vested the authority in us to determine whether or not an election, a contested election, what that outcome and what relief should be given. I was on the committee that created the report, yeah, and made the recommendation to the legislature. We did that on February 4th. So we had 4 months to make a decision, and it sat for 4 months with nobody bringing it forward or demanding it be brought forward but for the Republicans. And that's just wrong, because 40 years ago when this happened, it was actually the Republicans that were in charge, and it was a Democrat who ended up getting the seat, mm-hmm, because the Republicans investigated and brought it forth like they should have. They fulfilled their obligation. This should never have been political. We had a minimum obligation to at least just put the resolution to a vote. And that is just how, frankly, power hungry the Democrat Party is, that they refuse to even fulfill that constitutional obligation.
And Vin, one thing you said that was sent to me, and I saw the clip, it was very, you summed it up in just very few words. You said, quote, "We are failing the voters of the 120th district." And it's right there. You weren't partisan there. You just said it's a failure for these people who, you know, in good faith, made the effort to get over to Bunnell. Again, like you say, we complain when people don't vote, right? And then do vote and stuff happens like this, we sit there with our thumbs up in the air.
Yeah, that's right. And it was a tough night. It was very disappointing for me. You know, we gaveled out, and I feel like there's a hole left there that will continue until we have a new election.
You know, Vin, last week after Jim Feehan had made the offer on my show, the public offer, to Matt Ritter and the House Democratic leadership to say, okay, hey, at minimum, let's revote the 120th, and if I lose, I lose. If I win, I win. If I lose, I lose. We shake hands, and maybe we try another day. I made a few phone calls. I left a message for someone up there in the House Democratic leadership office saying that, you know, this was said to Matt by Jim. I invited either somebody to come on and counteract this on the show, or to even send me an email, a written statement saying why or why not this was tenable or untenable, and I got zero response. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, and that was sort of the response that we got throughout session. I think I ran three amendments on the House floor when I found the ability to do that on bills that sort of covered the subject matter, mm-hmm, and all three were summarily rejected by the Democrats. I thought that might get some publicity on it and sort of shame the Democrats into doing something, and surprisingly, that day never came until, like I said, at 11:55, they finally decided to call a resolution for a revote in Bunnell only. And you know, my hope now is, unfortunately, but my hope is that the courts will resolve this issue, given that the legislature really did fail to do its job and offer some sort of result. And, you know, the next time a Democrat stands up and calls for election reform, they need to answer this. It's really
I would hit him. Vin, this is why I could never serve in the House with you guys, because I would just go bonkers on them. But I hope one of you guys does the next time this is brought up. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, my next goal is for next session, I'm going to start an initiative to change the Constitution to put this into the courts. You know, ironically, my understanding was that the founders vested it, the authority, with the legislature because they didn't trust the judiciary, you know, 250 years ago. And
yeah,
now, ironically, you know, it's the legislature that really can't be trusted, and it should be in judicial hands. because they would have resolved the issue 7 months ago.
So the amendment that you put up late, before the adjournment, last night, earlier this week, did they choose to vote on that or not even take it up?
So there were three resolutions that I put forth dealing with the issue. Two of them they voted down.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, which dealt with the specific issue of calling for a revote for the 120th,
yeah.
They, on procedural grounds, dismissed it, so they never allowed it to come to a vote. And then last night is when they decided to call the resolution at 11:55, or Wednesday night, and the clock ran out, so we never got to a vote. And in part, that was when I got up and made that impassioned speech, because, you can't do it in 5 minutes.
No.
And so they knew it was never going to get voted on at that point, and it was just a real slap in the face to call that and run the clock out on a resolution that had constitutional magnitude.
I'm not, Vin, asking you to name names, cities and towns, genders, whatever, but obviously, I know how this works up there. You guys and gals are on opposite sides of the aisles, but you do pull each other aside. You do talk to each other. I know this. I've been covering the chamber for 20 or 30 years. You obviously pulled some people aside, as somebody would do this to you, and say, you probably said, come on, you guys have such a big majority. How can you not give the guy a revote? Did anybody look you in the face, Vin, and give you a straight answer on that?
Well, so there were many people that felt it should have come to the floor for a vote. And so Democrats and Republicans internally were upset that we weren't resolving it.
Mm-hmm.
The issue was, do we do a revote of the entire district? Or do we revote Bunnell only where the error occurred? And I think intellectually you could have that argument that it should be Bunnell only. I personally always felt that you have to revote the entire district based on court precedent.
Yeah, and I'm sure he might agree to that too.
That's right. And so it was an intellectual argument. There were some Democrats that believed it was Bunnell only. And what I had said to them is, let's put it on the board. If you feel it should be Bunnell only, I'm okay with that. I may vote against it in the end and talk about how it should be a whole revote, but we'll have that conversation.
Yeah.
And we were willing to do that. And I cannot for the life of me understand why that resolution was never put forward for a vote, because, again, it's not a political decision.
No.
We were really acting as judges. It was just something that needed to be resolved. So to make it political or think that it's a Democrat-Republican party line split, it didn't make any sense to me. And I believe it made them look a lot worse to the public. And certainly Phil Young will serve out his term
mm-hmm.
with a scarlet letter, always wondering whether or not he should be seated. And the Democrats put him in that position.
I never thought of that. Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody is treated up there with decorum and respect. But as you say, Vin, it's just sad. And look, you and I know what the political realities are here. It would be different if the Democrats had, a 5-vote majority in the House or a 10 or 12 vote. They've got such a huge majority here. It's one freaking seat. You know what I mean?
Well, here's an interesting point. In the bipartisan budget, we implemented a whole bunch of caps. We have mm-hmm. a spending cap, a revenue cap. In order to violate those caps, you need, it's 3/5 of the
assembly, yep.
which is 91. So they're hovering right around the ability to violate those caps. Now, ultimately, they didn't. But that was the only thing I could think of is why it wasn't called all session, because we had a couple of vacant seats in special elections. So they were never at that 91 mark until the end. So who knows? Maybe that procedurally was why.
Yeah, no, and you know what, Vin? I remember seeing that a couple of columnists and reporters who floated the that exact same thing, and they said, listen, on the surface, doesn't look like a lot, but they talked about, special votes for, veto overrides and things like that. So listen, they crunch the numbers and they count things like that. Vin, in about the minute we have left here, I guess it's on now to the July or August special session here, on tolls. I know the GOP is united. No. What's your gut feeling, Vin, tell you right now? Do you think, well, obviously we know they don't have the votes now. But in that session, do you think they're going to eventually get the votes or not?
I don't, and I think the conversation needs to shift to another alternative. Now that we have a budget done with a special transportation fund that is solvent, the pressure is taken off. So I can't imagine now Democrats are going to say, oh, yeah, let me vote for tolls.
Interesting.
So I'm hoping now we're going to have a better conversation about how to properly fund the transportation projects without piling on, you know, essentially more taxes to our residents.
All right. Vin Candelora from North Brantford, Republican State Rep. Vin, good to talk to you. We'll talk to you down the line.
Too.
Thank you. We like to check in with our local legislators. At least the Republicans will talk to us. And one of the ones who will talk is State Senator Kevin Kelly, Stratford. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm pretty good today. Yourself, Paul?
Oh, Kevin, I'm just, it's peaches and roses today. What can I tell you? In the great state of Connecticut. Although if I say that, they'll tax it, so I better not. So the session is over, and now you take account of it and give me your final thought on what has happened at least so far before the special session.
Well, I think from my perspective, what you got this year was more of the same that happened in my first 6 years in the legislature, which was under a Democratic majority with Governor Malloy. Now you have another Democrat majority with Governor Lamont, and it's tax and spend. Tax and spend. We have $1.8 billion in new taxes, new revenue going to the state of Connecticut. And while the governor will like to say that he didn't raise tax rates, things like a Netflix movie you download went from a 1% tax to a 6.25% tax. That's a tax increase. Any way you slice it, dice it, or cut it.
How much of the, if any, Kevin, is the rainy day fund affected here?
Well, the rainy day fund, thankfully, was a structural reform that we put in our budgets when we had a tie in the Senate, and it makes it very difficult for the Democrats to put their hands on it. So in the past year, the Republicans' reform put $2 billion into the rainy day fund, which is still there today. But the $550 million surplus from our budget was raided in its entirety. So nothing goes into the rainy day fund this year because the Democrats are in control.
What can that rainy day fund, Kevin, be used for, and who has the discretion to do that? How does that work systemically?
Well, I think what happens is when you have a rainy day, when there's really a problem with the Connecticut economy or the Connecticut revenue, and you have governmental operations that need to be maintained, that's why you save for the rainy day, much like you try to do in your own family budget in the event something happens, your boiler breaks or the car breaks down, you have a little bit of a cushion. The problem is that, you know, thank God we were able to create this prohibition, and the Connecticut economy is and our budgeting is not that bad right now. The problem that we have is that the Democrats have enacted new taxes and more spending. So when the state couldn't live within its means, like we do in our household, they just blew through that and said, "Well, we got to spend more," and that's a problem. But it's because they're spending other people's money. They don't have a problem with it.
Republican State Senator Kevin Kelly with his weekly spot here on the program. Kevin, what did you like about this session, the regular session, before we get to the special session? What made you happy as to what you guys were able to accomplish, if anything, this session?
Well, I like to be positive because I'm generally positive and good-natured. I think we put a lot of good ideas out there. I think we had an answer to the broken promises of the Affordable Care Act to bring relief to Connecticut families. Of course, the governor and the Democrats had no appetite. I think where we were able to be successful is we heard a lot about they were going to force tolls, pot, casino gambling upon Connecticut, and it hasn't happened yet. So to say that we accomplished a lot of things, I'm not seeing this budget as a blueprint for prosperity and success. And that is lamentable because I think we go there to work for the people we represent and to make our state better. This doesn't do it. And as a matter of fact, there's the budget's out, actually out of balance because there's a $450 million concession they want from labor that has not been negotiated. So now that we've shown our cards and the governor has laid everything out that we need on the table, I'm sure he's going to lose even more in that negotiation with the union.
What has the indication been, Kevin, if any, from the unions? I saw they put out a statement the other day. I don't remember what it said. Are they going to go along with this or not?
Well, no, they look forward to the conversation. So who knows what they're going to
do. I look forward to a lot of conversations, too, and they often don't end well with it.
Sure. You know, and that's what I'm afraid of, because the governor has showed all his cards. He needs $450 million concession from the unions, and they know exactly what he needs. And in order to get that, I'm sure they're going to get more than just that out of him. The other thing that's lamentable and I think is a very important issue, particularly to our listeners, is the fact that the Democrat-controlled legislature did not deal with the 120th election.
We talked to Vin Candelora about that, but what are your feelings about that? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I represent those people who were disenfranchised, and I brought up a constitutional amendment to change the Constitution. I wanted to add a statute that would make both the Senate and the House seats subject to judicial review. And, you know, they'll talk about how this is a constitutional charge. Every other elected office at the state level has judicial review. Mm-hmm. There's just two offices that were left out. And the fact that they had all session to deal with this constitutional issue, whether or not 75 people who lost their right to vote would be represented, rang hollow. They brought it up at 11:55 during the session. There was no time to get that through and voted on, and they know it takes more than 5 minutes to vote a bill out of the House. So there was no real appetite for the Democrats to give these 75 people who were disenfranchised the opportunity to actually have a representative elect them, and I feel somewhat a lot unhappy that they wouldn't even take the opportunities to fix the problem that we have in the Constitution. Even the Supreme Court in its decision said that they hoped that the legislature would take its constitutional duty seriously, and they failed.
Yeah, that's the same. That's probably the same court members that would bet on my Jets, and look what happened with that. Hey, Kevin, hang on. I want to follow up. I'm already starting to beat myself up for the coming year. Hey, Kevin, on the 120th thing, I read a couple of columnists a couple of days ago on this. I can't remember who exactly said it, but they alluded to something here that Vin brought up earlier. I want to get your thought on it. Do you think that the reluctance, possibly, of the Dems not to do something here in the 120th has to do with maybe the fact that the Republicans were able to flip a couple of seats, you know, East Haven, New Britain, in special elections, and that kind of shaved their margin a little bit if they want to exceed the constitutional spending cap? What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a lot of merit in that. The seat is important to Democrats because it creates the two-thirds majority that's necessary if they wanted to override the governor's veto. But, you know, this is what makes their, when they talk about early voting or any other type of voting initiative, that every vote must count. And what we want to do is get people to show up and to make sure that anybody who does show up, that their vote counts. Well, here you have a situation where 75 people did show up. They did vote. They were handed the wrong ballot. And there's no impetus, there's no urgency to making sure that every vote counts. And that's what is so disturbing about what happened. And instead of looking at whether or not those 75 people actually had the right to vote, which they went to the poll to do, the Democrats are focused on, well, you disenfranchised 10,000 voters who did vote, and their vote was counted. Well, this is just not the proper analysis.
No, it's not. And again, Kevin, I talked about this several times in the show today, talking about things nationally, locally, in the world. You know, Kevin, it's a bigger problem. We have rules. You know, people have trust in government, whether it's the dog catcher, the mayor, the first selectman, the state rep, or the president, whatever. We have rules to be put in. And, you know, America's supposed to be a land of laws. And if things like this happen, elections aren't perfect. God, we know that. You know, you would think the people in Stratford and all around would say, okay, there's no debate here. Everybody knows what happened. The numbers, 76 ballots wrong. He lost by 13. Let's fix it. When that doesn't happen, that's a, you know, Kevin, that's a, I understand it's a state house election, which a lot of people might not care about, but it is a big deal, and we should care about stuff like that.
It is a big deal because it's the foundation of the democratic process. You have to have integrity at the ballot box. You know, we are a land of the people, by the people, and for the people. You need to allow the people to be empowered. And when that doesn't happen, that's where the contempt and the disdain starts. And right now, I think the Democrat legislature failed in their constitutional obligation and responsibility. They turned a back on the Stratford voters that I represent. They didn't even take the opportunity to fix that problem. They're paralyzed because all they care about is power. They forgot the people. And they're paralyzed even to fix the Constitution or to allow judicial review when they can't do their job because the power is so important to the Democrats. They should have focused on the 75 people that didn't get the right to vote. That is what America is all about. We just saw yesterday the 75th anniversary of D-Day. People who gave up their future so that we could live in a world of democracy and to spread that throughout the world. When we don't have the guts to stand up for that, there's a problem. And unfortunately, the Democrat-controlled House didn't stand up for that constitutional right, and therefore we need to put it in the hands of the court system because they obviously aren't capable of doing it themselves.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. Good thoughts here. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
You bet. Take care.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Bye-bye.